The story behind the song. It has ever been that when a country has found itself thrown into the straitened circumstances of a great national crisis, when the ship of state has drifted perilously near to the shoals of tyranny or anarchy or revolution or outside invasion, or when the economic structure of a people has slipped precariously into jeopardy, there has arisen a staunch leader destined to guide the country back into the sane calm of reason. Shakespeare expressed it,
"Out of this metal, danger, we pluck this flower, safety."
So it has been, too, that from imperiling national crises, there have always grown inspiring national songs to imbue those who would see and do aright with new hope. During the American Civil War, there was living in Chicago a Northern sympathizer named George Frederick Root. It was during an evening of the summer of 1861 that Root was visiting friends, two brothers, Jules and Frank Lombard. As the two brothers sat reading books and George Root sat reading the evening paper, Root at last leaped to his feet.
"By Jove!
George, what's the trouble?
What are you reading?" "By Jove, this is inspiring.
What are you talking about?"
This proclamation of the president."
"What about it?"
"President Lincoln has delivered his second call for volunteers for the federal army. And if this doesn't make them come running to rally around the flag, boys, nothing ever will."
"Say."
"What, Jules?"
"Frank, did you hear what George said just then?"
"Oh, well, of course."
"I mean, didn't it strike you differently?"
"Why, what do you mean, Jules?"
"Rally around the flag, boys."
"Well, I just meant that..."
"Oh, I know what you meant, but rally around the flag, boys. Frank."
"Yes?"
"We've been looking for a new song to sing at that meeting tomorrow night in Courthouse Square."
"I know we have."
"Well, that's it."
"What? But, Jules, what in the world are you talking about?"
"I'm talking about the new song you're going to write for Frank and me to sing tomorrow night, George Root."
"What? I?"
"Listen, George, you're a musician. You're something of a poet, too. Now, you must write a new song for us. The president is calling for volunteers. The Union Army must have men. We were going to sing just some of the old songs, the songs the country's been singing for years. Now, here's our opportunity to really be of great service. And it's your opportunity as well, George. You shall write a new song, and Frank and I shall sing it. A song that will really make them rally around the flag. Will you, George?"
"Well, I've never written a song before in my life, but, well, I'll do my best."
Hastening to his own home, George Root labored far into the night. Yes, we'll rally round the flag, boys. Rally once again. Those were the first lines of the first verse. How else could he begin, save with the words which he himself had uttered, and which had inspired Jules Lombard to ask him to pen a new song for the Union? For the Union. The Union. Now the words of the chorus began taking shape in his mind.
The Union forever.
Hurrah, boys, hurrah.
As though guided across the white paper by the magic hand of some unseen muse, George Root's pen sped, dripping the words which were to be the lyrics of the nation's latest song of war. Then the second verse.
We are springing to the call of our brothers gone before, shouting the battle cry of freedom. And we'll fill the vacant ranks with a million free men more, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
The Battle Cry of Freedom. What better title could he place at the top of the page? As line upon line formed themselves in martial array, the stirring melody began to seep into the consciousness of the author-composer. Finally, as the rising sun began to tint the shores of Lake Michigan, George Frederick Root set aside his pen to read the completed words and music. A few corrections here and there, and the work was ready to be delivered to Jules and Frank Lombard for rehearsal. The next evening, as Root made his way through the crowded streets of Chicago toward Courthouse Square.
Why, what in the world? Well, they're singing my new song.
George!
Huh? Oh, well, good evening.
Where in the world have you been? Frank and I have been looking everywhere for you.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a class to teach this evening, and I couldn't make it here any sooner.
You hear them, George? Do you hear them?
Yes. Yes, I hear them. But how on
earth? How did they learn it? That proves what a great song you've written. Frank and I sang it once. And as we finished, it was just a fraction of a moment's pause. Then the whole crowd went wild. George, I thought they were going to shout the courthouse to the ground. They wanted more. We sang it again and again. As we repeated that wonderful chorus after each verse, the people began to sing it. More and more of them picked it up each time until, well, you can hear them now.
Yes. Yes, I can hear them.
This must be a great moment for you, George Root.
What? Oh, a great moment for me? Well, yes, I guess it must be. The whole thing so overwhelms you that I can't tell just yet how I feel. My first song...
But certainly not the last, George. You must write many more.
Yes. I think I shall. I think I can now.
Throughout the succeeding years of the war, the battle cry of freedom swept the northern states. Everywhere it became the inspiration to go on, to continue the fight, sometimes in the face of tremendously discouraging defeats. Many are the stories of how George Root's war song spurred the boys in blue onward toward ultimate victory. One took place on the 6th day of May, 1864. While the two Union generals, Sherman and Hood, were meeting bitter defeat at the hands of the Confederate armies, the Army of the Potomac, under the direct command of Union General Meade, undertook the campaign of the Wilderness in order to force the evacuation of Richmond. Toward the end of that insufferably bitter day in May, one of General Meade's aides rode his frothing horse to a grinding halt before his commanding officer.
Yes, Major?
We can't hold out, sir. They're gaining every minute.
I was afraid of it. How close are they?
Within 200 or 300 yards, sir. Our men are falling back by inches now.
Have they crossed the Rapidan?
They're crossing now, sir. There's no use, sir. We can't gain a foot on them. We can't even hold against them. Our line's broken in three positions already, sir.
Very well. Sound retreat.
Wait, sir. Please.
What? What is it, Lieutenant?
We can't retreat now, sir.
Please, Lieutenant Harris. Let me be the judge of that. I'm in command here. Sound...
Wait, sir. Don't retreat, I beg you. Let me get out there.
What do you mean? What can you do?
Let me show you, sir.
Well, very well. We can't lose anything. I'll go with you. Come on.
Look there, sir. Another hole in our line.
Yes, I see it. We can't do anything now but retreat.
Listen, men. Don't give up. We can't give up. The Union forever. The Union forever.
What in the name of heaven is that that boy doing? And thus, once more, George Root's war song touched off the gunpowder of action within the hearts of those gallant soldiers in blue and became the impulse which goaded them on to victory on that summer's day upon the battle-scarred shores of the Rapidan River.
Yes, we'll rally round the flag, boys, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. We will rally from the hillside, we'll rally from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom. The Union forever, hurrah, boys, hurrah. Down with the traitor, up with the sun. While we rally round the flag, boys, rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Ringing to the call from the east and from the west, shouting the battle cry of freedom, and we'll prove our loyal crew for the land we love.